Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you bestowed on our community, and we pray tonight for your guidance, that our decisions will be for the good of our community. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Number one on the agenda is update on 2021 school year by Dr. Washburn, Superintendent of the Carlsbad Municipal Schools. Welcome, Dr. Washburn.
Thank you. I'll take that off. I don't feel like I have to scream or to be heard.
Yeah. You can pull that microphone down a little bit and help.
I need all the help I can get. So thank you very much for having me. This is probably going to be singularly most challenging start to a school year that any school district in New Mexico has faced. The things that are before us are things that we've never had to encounter. We're asking staff to reinvent education from the ground up. We also have to address parent concerns about, you know, is my kid going to get sick? What is the threat level to my kid? We also have to address our staff members and their concerns about, am I going to get ill? I feel very good. We've had a good advisory group to talk about first steps in putting a plan together. We're now having school groups come together and trying to operationalize some things. We're going to push out an operational framework that's going to talk about things about what it's going to look like when we bring staff back, what it's going to look like when we bring kids back, what we're going to do day-to-day to keep people safe and minimize risk as much as we can, and then what we're going to do in that worst case scenario where we have a child or a staff member get sick. We had a semi-dry run with our summer sports workouts. We had a coach test positive. We shut everything down. We got all the kids tested. All of them came back negative. All of the other coaches came back negative. And then we had another coach test positive in that interim. Both of the coaches are doing well. We kind of seen what that looks like, but really honestly, the data that we're seeing for kids is that everything coming out of Europe, which has been running schools, is showing that kids aren't spreading this disease, particularly the younger grades. It's a mixed bag with the high school aged kids and the middle school aged kids, but for the most part, we're just not seeing real indications that they even spread it among themselves or spread it to adults. What we are seeing in those studies is that kids are getting it from adults. And that has been our experience in Eddy County. The kids that we've had tested positive in Eddy County, the majority of which are in Artesia, have gotten it from the adults in their lot. So we know that's where we are. Statistically, we're faced with some significant challenges because of what's going on across the border from us and the number of our folks that cross the border every day. El Paso, out of the 254 counties, El Paso is sixth in COVID cases, and the last 14 days they're averaging 284 cases a day, and their peak was 411 cases. They have 9,716 cases alone just in El Paso. Lubbock, which is another place that a lot of our folks travel to, is 15th in Texas. They have 3,748 cases to date. They're averaging 122 cases a day, and their peak was 184. Midland and Ector County are both averaging 52 and 39 cases a day, which is comparable to McKinley and Bernalillo. So, and those are places we have people traveling to all the time. The spike in cases in Lee County, the folks there are attributing it directly to folks crossing the border into Texas. If you look at our cases here in Eddy County, many of them trace back to El Paso. So we know that that Texas connection is driving our infection rate to some extent. Where are we at? The last 14 days, we're averaging 4 cases per day, and our peak was 13 in that 14-day period. We watch that all the time because we want to know where we're at. As of today, we have 9 kids in the age 0 to 9 in Eddy County that have contracted COVID-19. That represents 1.27% of the state cases, 0 to 9. In the 10 to 19-year-old category, we have 17 kids that have contracted it, and that's 1.17% of the state cases. So they're extremely low. We have a total of 150 cases year-to-date in the county. So we have low rates. We all are struggling with the masks, but what for us to get kids back to where we have most of our kids in school, if not all of them, and can do that safely, is going to require people to commit to masks, to being committed to getting kids back in school. We have been very clear with our staff. The public health regulations require everyone that walks in a school building to wear a mask. We are going to enforce that. We are ordering 10,000 gaiters, which are, for those of you that don't know what a gaiter is, that's the neck covering that if for ATVs pulls up over your nose, you can even pull it up over your head and face and wear goggles when you're riding an ATV. But we're ordering them in Carlsbad Blue with a C on them. We're going to give them to staff and kids. We'll push those out. The big things for us, we're bringing 2 proposed start dates to the school board next Tuesday. One of them would have us start school on August 10th. The other one would have us start school on August 24th. The legislature passed legislation that provided funding for 10 extra days to address learning loss. So what we're going to do is be very targeted on either the 10th date or the 24th date, and we're going to bring kids that couldn't access the internet or didn't access the internet and kids that we know are behind or struggling, and special education students that may have really struggled in that online environment. We're going to bring them back as our first wave of in-person students and really spend 10 days at the elementary level in a reading, math, and social-emotional boot camp to get them ready for school and to do what we can to bootstrap them up. We will provide learning opportunities for the rest of the students in our district online during that 10-day period. Right now, if it was today, we would have to start hybrid, which means we're going to bring groups of students in on Monday and Tuesday. Then they will do online learning Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then the other group of students would come on Thursday and Friday, and they would do online learning Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's a very complex issue. For busing, we're limited to 2 kids per seat on the bus, which takes our 71 passenger buses down to 48. We're looking at a lot of different models as we move forward. The real issue for us is having a real clear plan for what's going to happen if we have a case in the schools. And we believe that that's going to occur. How we mitigate that risk, how we keep kids learning while we move forward with that is going to be a real challenge. But that's really what we're trying to address. The other piece that we're going to be focused on a great deal is how do we address staff child care needs in a hybrid environment? How do we address child care needs for young families that are going to have kids that are going to be, if you have a kindergarten through sixth grader and they go to school on Monday and Tuesday, what are you going to do with them Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? It presents significant challenges. We found if we have to go to a straight online environment, which is the most restrictive opening that we could have, our staff already knows what the challenges are of trying to teach and take care of your kids in a building. And then we've got parents that are having to make choices that they had to make March through May again. We believe that if we can keep trending down, we trended up for a while. Now we're seeing a trend down. We believe we can make a case for regionally reopening. In southeast New Mexico, the only county that doesn't have a case is Dabaca County. I'm not sure what's in the water. Having been born in Fort Sumner and having spent a little bit of my childhood there, I'm hoping that whatever it is still works for me. Roosevelt County has less than 100 cases still. Lee County is running close to 300 now. We're at 150. Chavis is at 155. Curry's close to 302. But those are all extremely low numbers when you compare them to what's going in the on the northwest corner. What we know, online learning hasn't worked for our kids. Some of them have done okay, but the vast majority of them have struggled or fallen behind. We know that they need to be in an in-person environment if they're going to learn, but we've also got to be able to take care of, and I'm just going to make this person up, I have to be able to look a 62-year-old diabetic teacher that's been working for Carlsbad Schools for 22 years that possibly has heart issues, which puts him in a high-risk category or her in a high-risk category, and they're committed to this community and they want to come back to work. How do I put something together so that they can come and have risk minimized as much as possible? And that is a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge for young mothers with infants. Number one, can they find childcare to take care of their infant? Number two, is there the possibility of me taking something home to my newborn? What we do know is that so far all of the children in Eddy County have not been hospitalized, to the best of my knowledge. So they've gotten it. They've been able to go through, weather the storm and not be hospitalized. I would really like to see what the hospitalization rates are for 0 to 19s for the entire state, because I think that would help our parents with what their risks are on sending kids back to school, and that data is not available that I have been able to find. The other piece that would be really helpful for all of us is, you know, and we're not going to know this until we start school, but what are those transmission rates once we start school? So huge challenges. We need the community's help as we move all this forward. We've rolled another parent survey out yesterday. I'll be sending a link to your office to get that on your page as well, so we can get parents responding. But really, it's going to take a community effort, wearing masks, getting kids to wear a mask, doing everything we can to get kids back into in-person instruction, and to doing that. And I'm asking the community to help us, because without that, we're not going to be able to start schools with any semblance of what our kids need. So, you know, we'll appreciate all the support. The city and the county have been tremendous partners. The community has been tremendous partners, and we need their help if we're going to do this and do it right.
Great presentation, Doctor. Is there questions or comments from the council?
Gary, Dr. Washburn.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how have the teachers, are they pretty much on board with everything you're doing? Are they pretty strong about what you're doing? Or I know of some people that are real fearful, and they can't seem to get out of that bubble.
We have about, I would say we have about 20-25% of our teaching staff that are very fearful.
Yeah.
You know, and we have some folks that are fully committed to coming back.
Yeah.
We have some folks going, well, I'm nervous, but I'll come back. It's a matter of trust. And it's a matter of courage. But the only way that folks can trust us is if we have a solid plan for doing everything we can to keep illness out of our buildings and for responding quickly in the event that we are made aware of it, and minimizing spread, which is a huge thing. And I'm going to steal this from David Shoup, because I think this is probably the best description. And David's fought a lot with this in his business. But he explained, when we were talking about this, he gave me this image. He says, you have 800 employees. Think of an airplane hangar that's got 800 windows and a Category 7 hurricane going on outside. Have three windows that break out. You're busy patching those windows up. About the time you get those three patched up, you have five more break out. And you can't keep up with putting the windows back in place. That's what we've got to worry about as we're addressing spread, is how do we get those windows patched as quick as we can?
Right.
And how do we weather this? But the big thing is getting community spread down and keeping community spread down. That's why, in my mind, if you don't need to take a trip to Texas, please don't take a trip to Texas. The guidelines that are out there will get our kids back into school, because we have low rates of transmission. Most of the stuff that we're seeing is from crowd. That's what we've got to do with our staff. That's what we do with the whole community.
Gary, thank you for your confidence. That's what we're looking for. Thank you.
Okay.
Anyone else? Thank you very much, Dr. Washburn.
Thank you. I appreciate all your time. I know you guys have got a lot to do.
Yeah.
And wear your mask.
That moves us to number two, approval of the agenda, and I want to remove D2 from the agenda, and I'd ask John to give a brief explanation of this.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council. D2 was approval of agreement with On Target to have the annual Firefighters Combat Challenge. After reviewing the agreement and understanding the quarantine restrictions placed by the state, anybody coming to that event would be required to quarantine for 14 days, or those coming to those event from out of state. In speaking with Chief Lopez on mass gathering, she thought it was best to postpone that agreement, call On Target, and try to find a date that would work best for everybody at a later time. He was unsure of the amount of teams that would be traveling to an event such as this time of year as well. So with that, we ask for maybe a postponement of it until later this year, maybe early next year. So originally it was scheduled for Cavern Fest on June 5th and 6th. So it's already been postponed one time as well.
Questions or comments from the council?
Make a motion to approve the
agenda. We have a motion to approve. Second. And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Number 3, City of Carlsbad Financials, May 2020. Ms. Austin.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I will give you a brief update of the city's financials for May 2020, which is the 11th accounting period of fiscal year 2019-20. The city had a beginning fiscal year cash balance of $99.7 million and an ending cash balance of $97.8 million. The city's revenues of $120.7 million are $10.5 million favorable to the $110.2 million budget and 8% above target. The city's labor costs of $43.9 million are $3 million favorable to the $47 million budget and 6% below target. The city's operating costs of $50.2 million are $3.4 million favorable to the $53.6 million budget and 6% below target. The city's capital costs of $28.5 million are $22.2 million below the $50.7 million budget and 41% below target. And this variance is primarily related to Fire Station 6 remodel with a project balance of $747,000, multiple large and small street projects with an overall project balance of $7.6 million, multiple airport improvement projects with a balance of $1.3 million, Pate School remediation with a project balance of $562,000, the Cavern Theater remediation project with a balance of $2 million, and finally, there's multiple water and sewer projects with an overall project balance of $5.7 million. Overall, through this 11th period of the fiscal year, the city has decreased cash $2 million, and I'd also like to add that this increase is quite small considering that the city did have some extraordinary type costs this fiscal year, which included $3.5 million for the city's contribution to the brine well remediation project, $13 million towards the redeeming of the water and sewer bonds, and $1.4 million to the county for the city's share of the construction of the next landfill cell. And that will conclude my summary unless there's any questions.
Questions or comments from the council? Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 4, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the City Council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately. And I would ask Mr. Lowe to briefly discuss D1.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. D1 is the annual agreement with Creative Carlsbad to act as the Arts Council for the Carlsbad Arts and Cultural District. This agreement allows the city to pay Creative Carlsbad $30,000 to fund their executive director position. Julie Chester is the current executive director for that and is doing an outstanding job. The city receives many compliments on that program and Ms. Chester, so we ask for your approval tonight.
Questions or comments from the council?
Mayor, I'll move for approval.
We have a motion to approve and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number five, consider approval of temporary use application to allow food truck mobile sales vending on city property at the Ray Anaya San Jose Park, located at 300 Diaz by Tacos El Chapo, applicant Antonio Robles. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request for a mobile vending on city property at Ray Anaya San Jose Park, located at 300 Diaz Street by Tacos El Chapo. The applicant is requesting to set up in that park. There should be a map in your packet to show the exact location that he's proposing. As with all off-site or vending on property not owned by the vendor, we require permission from the property owner. In this case, the city of Carlsbad is the property owner. The planning department requests approval with the following conditions. The applicant shall not disturb the peace with loudspeaker, megaphone, bell, music, or other disruptive noise. The applicant shall limit vending from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. as per the applicant information. And approval of this request would grant permission to the applicant to vend on city-owned property at Ray Anaya San Jose Plaza, 300 Diaz Street, from Wednesday, July 15th, 2020, until Thursday, December 31st, 2020. And the applicant will need to provide a surety bond.
Questions or comments for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Did you have a statement you'd like to make?
No, sir. I would just like to.
Yeah, if you would, state your name for the record, please.
My name's Antonio Robles, owner of Tacos El Chapo. I'm currently an oil field worker, but since oil field is down, I decided to invest my money in some cooking for Carlsbad.
Question from the council?
Mayor, if I may, I've got one question that I've asked all the other vendors. Trash collection and keeping things clean, neat, and orderly?
We would take good care of that. Probably need a trash bin, some clothes that would be provided.
I don't know that those are provided just at request. You would have to order it and pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever we have to do.
Okay. I just want to make sure that park stays nice and clean.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Councilman Walterscheid.
Sir, what kind of tacos you make? The good tacos? What do we got here?
Best one.
The best? Okay, that's what we want. Only the best. Thank you.
Further questions? Okay, thank you, Mr. Robles.
Mayor, I'd move for approval.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
You're approved.
Thank you.
Number six, consider approval of temporary use application to allow bicycle vending of Paletta's mobile sales on various city properties by Paletta's. To you, applicant Jose Cabazuela. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request for permission to allow mobile vending sales on various city properties by Paletas to you. This will be a bicycle vendor, so he won't have a set spot. He's going to go from park to park and vend throughout those parks. Approval of this request will allow him to get his special business registration that he needs. The Planning Department recommends approval with the following conditions. The applicant shall not disturb the peace with loudspeaker, megaphone, bell, music, or other disruptive noise. The applicant shall limit vending from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. as per the applicant information. Approval of this request grants permission to the applicant to vend Paletas on city-owned parks from Wednesday, July 15th, 2020 until Thursday, December 31st, 2020. The applicant plans to primarily vend on Saturdays and Sundays, but may vend on other days as weather permits, and they will need to provide the planning staff with a surety bond.
Questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. And I understand there's not a representative here.
I'll make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve. Second. And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Number seven, consider approval of resolution 2020-27, a resolution ratifying the agreement between the City of Carlsbad and Southeastern New Mexico Economic Development District for 2020-21 membership. Mr. Lowe.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, we're asking for approval of resolution 2020-27, an agreement between the City of Carlsbad and Southeast New Mexico Economic Development District for the fiscal year 2021 membership dues. They assist the City of Carlsbad with the infrastructure planning, the ICIP process, in addition to capital outlay. The annual membership dues are $7,641, and these funds were approved in the interim budget.
Questions for comments for Mr. Lowe? We have a motion and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Number eight, consider approval of resolution 2020-28, a resolution requiring the removal of the building and debris at 1003 and 1003 and a half West Fox Street. Owner Frankie and Susan Jackson. Ms. Reardon.
What's been placed on your desk is updated photos, so you have those. What you'll see is the building remains in bad shape, has been in bad shape. It's essentially been vacant for some time. The owner, Mrs. Jackson, has passed away. Her husband is incarcerated. We expect him to be incarcerated for at least another 4 years. We did write him about the condition of the property. His letter is in your file. He admits that the property is in bad condition. He asks only that he be allowed to pay off any lien that we place on it. We've updated some of the photos. What you'll see in that, besides the exterior being with junk and debris, not cleaned up, but on the interior, there's some problems with both the electrical system, the plumbing system. The building itself has been damaged probably by some people who are squatting in it, and they've stripped the walls, they've kind of damaged it, and leaving a lot of the interior exposed due to the age of the building, the lack of maintenance, and that stripping that's occurred. Essentially, the interior has become very badly damaged. It's been inspected by the building department, by the code enforcement, and by the fire marshal. They all recommended that this be brought before council for consideration on demolition. As drafted, the resolution would give everyone 60 days to bring it into compliance. If it's not brought into compliance, the city would proceed with the demolition.
Questions or comments for Ms. Reardon? Thank you, Ms. Reardon.
Make a motion to move forward with the demolition.
We have a motion to move forward and a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Number nine, consider approval of resolution 2020-29, a resolution adopting the City of Carlsbad, New Mexico Affordable Housing Plan 2020. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As you're aware, the city received a grant from the state through the New Mexico Mortgage Finance Authority to update our affordable housing plan. That plan is being presented to you tonight, along with resolution 2020-29, which would approval of that resolution would adopt the plan. That's the last piece in the grant agreement for the city, is to adopt the plan. The plan really gives the city a lot of good information about housing, particularly affordable housing. It also gives the city some strategies and goals and identifies various funding opportunities for the city or other entities that may be interested. Planning staff recommends approval of resolution 2020-29 adopting the Carlsbad New Mexico Affordable Housing Plan 2020.
Questions for Mr. Patterson? Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Mayor, I move for
approval. Oh, I'm sorry.
I move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. We have a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Number 10, consider approval of ordinance 2020-16, an ordinance authorizing the lease of the property commonly known as the Carlsbad Adult Respite Facility, 201 East Cascades Avenue, to the Southeast New Mexico Community Action Corporation. A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of ordinance, and will now convene as a public hearing. And I would call on Mr. Ken Britt.
Mayor and members of the council, for the first 8 years at the Carlsbad, City of Carlsbad, it has the Adult Respite Center. It's been run by the Southeast New Mexico Community Action Corporation. That contract has expired, and because of the value of the building, it's exceeded $25,000. A new ordinance is needed to enter into a new agreement with the same organization who's done a good job with the first 8 years. So we would encourage your consideration to pass that.
Question for Mr. Britt? I know they've done an excellent job.
And a much needed service in our community.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Britt. Mr. Britt, before we have the vote, could you come back up? This is Mr. Britt's last council meeting. He'll be retiring on the 24th, which is only a few days away. And I just wanted to say on behalf of the council and the City of Carlsbad, we so much appreciate what you've done for the city. Well, and you've done a remarkable, great job, and we really appreciate it.
Well, I can say it's been an honor and a privilege to serve this community in that capacity, and I'm totally grateful for that opportunity, and I thank you for it.
Any other councilmen?
We've seen him go into retirement and back out of it again, so I'm not going to lose hope.
Yeah.
One more time. Thank you, Mr. Britt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we're still in the public hearing. Is there anyone would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as a city council to consider approval of ordinance 2020-16. We have a motion to approve. And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
Number 11, consider approval of ordinance 2020-17, an ordinance rezoning part of R1 Residential 1 District to R2 Residential 2 District for an approximately 0.48 acre property located west of 2319 Legion Street and south of 2317 Legion Street. Applicant owner Ruben Donna R. Trey and Roman Gonzalez. A, public hearing, and B, consider approval of ordinance. And we'll now convene as a public hearing. And again, Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a request for a zone change from R1 Residential 1 District to R2 Residential 2 District for the properties indicated in the maps in your packet along Legion Avenue. If you look to the properties to the southeast and west, they're currently zoned R1 Residential 1 District. The property to the north is zoned C2 Commercial 2 District. This zone change would create a spot zone. This item was brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission at the June 1st, 2020 Commission meeting. That body voted to recommend approval with a vote of 4 in favor of approval and 1 against. And in accordance with the recommendation for approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission, Planning and Regulation Department recommends approval of this request.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you. Oh, we have a question.
Jeff, if this is approved, because of the lot being landlocked, would there or could there be a provision put in this that should it be sold, that access to that lot would remain in place with the sale of property?
Yes, sir. If you wanted to add that provision, that could be something that is in your purview. They can place access easement on the property that would allow access moving forward.
Further questions from the council? Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Ruben, did you have any comments you wanted to make? Any questions, Mr. Mark Walshad?
What are you going to use it for? What's it going? What's the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. But why would you want to rezone it to C2 then, if you would?
R2.
Oh, R2. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Further questions or comments from the council? Is there anyone that would like to speak for the ordinance? For the ordinance. If not, do we have anyone that would like to speak against the ordinance? Against the ordinance. If not, we'll now reconvene as a city council to consider approval of ordinance 2020-17.
Mayor, I would move for approval with the stipulation that access to the back lot be allowed with this motion and progress forward.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I'll second it.
Okay. We've got lots of seconds. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walterscheid.
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores.
Yes.
Mr. Chavez.
Yes.
Mr. Carter.
Yes.
Mr. Estrada.
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes.
Mr. Shirley.
Yes.
You're approved. Number 12, council committee reports. Is there any council members that have any updates? If not, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? Will you state your name for the record, please?
Hi, Josh Calder. Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Last week we had, in closed session, we discussed the employment status of one of our employees. I just wanted to update the council on the decision that was made and the information we got the following day. I just have it I just hand it out?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Hello, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. How are you?
Like I said, we received that about 23 hours after the decision. Just wanted to update the council. It was it sounded a little back and forth concerning the decision that day, and I'll stand for any questions if anybody has any.
Questions from the council?
Really?
Jeez. Want some good timing?
Yeah. Talk about a day late, huh?
Further questions? Thank you, Josh.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to address the council? If not, we'll move to number 13, adjourn. And I'd call on Councilor Lisa and Aya Flores.
Mayor, I'm moved to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Could we get a second?
Second.
We have a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Walter Scheidt?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
We're adjourned.
Jason.